How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, we're glad you're back with us on the broadcast this week. And we left off last time here in John chapter 4. Verse number 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith and said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that thou sayest, and that sayest thou truly. The Lord told this woman here at the well at Sychar, he said, go get your husband. If the Lord, she said to the Lord, I want this water that you've promised. I don't want to be thirsty again. I don't want to have to come up here to this well and draw water anymore. I want it. Well, the Lord is dealing with the spiritual thing, the need of her soul. He's not dealing with her work and her the necessity of her coming up and getting physical water out of this well, but he's dealing with the need of her soul. And in doing so, the Lord takes her and he steers her to her need. He says, go get your husband and come back here. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, you know what? You're right. You've had five husbands. The Lord knows about her sin. She's not hiding it from the Lord. We can't hide anything from the Lord. He says, matter of fact, you're shacking up with a man. You're living in wickedness and in sin, and it should not be. He said, you don't have a husband? That's right. But you do have a man, but it's not right. It's sinful before God. That's the implication. Verse number 19. Listen to what her reply is. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So listen, the Lord Jesus Christ begins to deal with her about her sin, and she does what's typical for all of us. We want to talk about something else. We want to deal with this, or we don't want to deal with this, but let's rather defer to something else. I surrendered to preach in 2001 and had the privilege to be able to preach in jails for these years, and then preach there in the jail in Missouri, in the county where I lived. And I would go there, and folks, we'd go there to preach, and those that we would meet there in the jail. Many times, folks, those that were there would say, well, my uncle is a preacher, or my long-lost relative was a preacher, or this person was religious in my family, or that. There's always a taking of, you know, they're there in jail. They've been caught for the sin that they've committed, the transgression against the law that they've committed. They're there incarcerated. But rather than deal with that, they want to take and claim righteousness or a parallel to somebody in their family or somebody that they knew that was supposedly a servant of the Lord. She wants to do the same thing, doesn't she? She says, I'm thinking you're a prophet because the Lord knows the truth. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Said, let me ask you a Bible question. You talk to somebody about their sin and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Want to talk about prophecy. Want to talk about how many angels that can stand on the head of a pin. Want to talk about this. Want to talk about that. But don't want to deal with the real problem. Listen. Don't avoid dealing with the real problem of your soul. Your sin is great before God. You can't blame anybody for your sin. You can't lay it off on anybody else. You can't blame anybody else. You can't accuse anybody else. Your sin is your sin. My sin is my sin. And that's the way it is for each and every individual. You need to deal with your sin before the Lord. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. So she says, we got this controversy between us. You Jews, you say that in Jerusalem's a place to worship, and but we Samaritans, we worship in this mountain. If I remember right, my geography correctly, and what we understand historically, she's speaking of Mount Gerizim there in that region of Samaria. Jesus saith unto her, verse 21, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He says there's coming a time that the place, the geography of worship is going to be passed. It's going to be replaced by something else. He says, believe me, it's coming an hour when neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem ye shall worship the Father. He says it's coming that the place of geography is not going to be important. Why? Because of the keys of the kingdom are going to be taken from Israel, going to be taken from the Jews, the Lord's nation, and those keys of the kingdom are going to be given to the Lord's New Testament church. That's where worship is going to be. Not in a place, but amongst the people, amongst assemblies that the Lord is going to put together. He's going to take people and he's going to save their souls and they're going to engage the Lord's churches to be baptized and enter into those assemblies, enter into those churches. Now, when I say enter in, I'm not talking about walking into a building, but they're going to be joined together with those other people. They're of like faith to worship the Lord. And it's not going to be about geography. It's not going to be an element of geography that'll make the worship right, like Mount Gerizim or like Jerusalem, but it's going to be in the Lord's church. Here the Lord Jesus Christ deals with her about some of this history and this thing that happened there in Samaria. Ye worship, ye know not what. And the reason that the Lord says that is because of what I told you about last time. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 through 41, where the king of Assyria brought Gentiles. He brought other nations. He brought other kinds and tribes of people, along with their false and pagan gods. He brought them there into Samaria, and they intermingled with the Jews. They weakened the situation of the Jews there in that region, and that's the reason that Samaria was in the mess that it was. He says, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Some might become very offended in that, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born a Jew. He's a son of David. He came out of the nation of Israel. And that's just the Lord, the nation of Israel is God's nation. They are yet his nation today. There are many that believe and preach that the church, the Lord's church, has replaced Israel. No, the scripture is clear that the olive branch of Israel has been cut off and there's been another branch grafted in. But there's going to come a day when the Lord's also going to deal with Israel and he's going to bring her back too. He says to this Samaritan woman, ye worship, ye know not what. Because things have been so messed up here in Samaria, and because of all the pagan and false religion that was brought in hundreds of years ago. You don't know what you worship, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ, the promise, the oracle of God, it came out of Israel. But the hour cometh, verse 23, and now is, matter of fact, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he goes on to say here, you don't know what you worship, but we know what we worship. And the hour is coming, matter of fact, now is, that true worshipers, do you want to be a true worshiper of God? There's only one way to worship him. You can't take a little bit of truth and a little bit of error and try to mix them together and truly worship God. It just won't work. The Lord says here, the true worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Spirit. There's got to be salvation. And it's not talking about spirit like some say that the Spirit of God has got to move and make you behave in an uncontrolled fashion, uncontrolled way. The Spirit of God moves to make you speak in a language that can't be understood by anybody, or supposing that one could speak in a heavenly language. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is to worship the Lord in spirit. Is talking about to be saved, to have the Spirit of God living within, to have Jesus Christ living within. They that worship the Father shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because it says, and so not only in spirit, being saved, but also worship Him in truth. Being saved, one might be saved and have the Lord Jesus Christ truly as Savior, but if we don't hold to the truth of God's Word, that's where we get truth, not by revelation of a preacher, not by revelation of a so-called apostle. There are no apostles today. The apostles were, for the time there, being with the Lord Jesus Christ and be witnesses of His ministry and resurrection, and the Lord used them, namely, to give us the New Testament Scriptures. The church and the service of the Lord is built on the foundation of the apostles, but the Lord Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He says here, it says, the Lord, the Father, is going to be worshipped in spirit and in truth, and the truth that we have is God's Word. We need to be saved. One needs to be saved to worship the Lord, so we can know who we're worshiping by having the Spirit of God living within through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. His power to save us and Him's having saved us, and then the truth of God's Word. It says there in the latter part of verse number 23, because that's God, that's who the Father's looking for. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That's who the Lord is looking for to worship Him, is those that will worship Him in spirit and those that will worship Him together in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, verse 24, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's necessity. It won't be worship. It won't be worship of the Father. It won't be worship of God unless it is a worship in spirit and in truth. And that spirit is the Spirit of God living within us, not something that we conjure up. There's a whole world of religion out there that's strictly based on emotionalism. There's a message that I preach, and I challenge you to do this, to take your Bible and maybe take a Strong's Concordance, or if maybe you have a means to be able to look up scriptures on a computer, some kind of search software on a computer, maybe even get online and be able to look up scriptures there. But there's a message that I preach that shows that in the New Testament scriptures, there's only three mentions of the word, of the form of the word feel, feelings. There's a whole world of religion that's been built upon feelings and emotion. And yes, we are emotional creatures, and we should express emotion when we're motivated by the truth. But emotion is not religion. Emotion is not worship of God. And there's only three mentions of the form of the word feel in the New Testament scriptures, but there's well over 200 mention of the word or forms of the word believe and faith. That's where the Lord wants us to be, and that's where the Lord expects. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, see that our time has passed. May the Lord bless you with His word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.